This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, as we cover lots of different topics around Douglas County. Today, Douglas Cares Executive Director Sarah Wickersham. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You know, this year marks 30 years as Cares being around as a nonprofit.
Yeah, that's right. We've been part of this community for a long time, and we're excited to share our story.
So talk about how CARES started.
So CARES started 30 years ago in 1994. It was a partnership between a lawyer and his wife, and they both worked part-time. The lawyer did interviews, and his wife did the business management, took the referrals and scheduled the appointments. They worked out of a little tiny old house. They just took a couple of rooms in there to do their work. And they had huge hearts, and they wanted to take care of kids who had experienced the hurts.
And even to do that, though, I mean, it took some hoops to go through, and you've got to go make sure everybody's on the same page about what you're doing. And to do that with just a couple of people, that's pretty daunting.
I imagine it was really daunting back then. It was very, very much supported by the district attorney's office and by the police in our community and by child welfare. So they had a lot of partners involved. Also, our medical community was at that time doing all of the medical exams that were required to make sure that kids were safe and healthy.
So how has it evolved to, let's fast forward to, how many staff do you have right now?
Today we have 23 employees. Of those, 21 are full-time. That includes one full-time forensic interviewer and two part-time forensic interviewers, two full-time advocates, the director team, full-time medical director, which is the first time we've ever had that level of medical services in our building, and a pretty large complement of mental health providers.
Now, over the years, the location shifted around. You've been along West Harvard for how many years?
We've been there for about 5 years with Jason Pargeter as our realtor. The owner of the building. He's been really, really wonderful for us. And we originally occupied just half of that building with our forensic department and our therapists. And early last year, we took over the second half of it. And at this point, we've filled it completely. And we're overflowing a bit.
Now, you don't have any change of address cards ready yet, but it sounds like you're preparing for a big move.
We are preparing for a big move. As I said, we have filled our building to capacity, and we even have a few people sharing offices right now. Through just an amazing gift from Guy Kennerly, a local developer, he agreed to build to suit a property that we were able to design to meet our needs. It has room for us to grow, and it's going to be just a beautiful space, state of the art for forensic services and mental health services.
How long has this been kind of in process?
A little over a year. We were pretty quiet about it at first because we wanted to make sure that all the kinks were worked out and that our contract was signed. But we are just at the finishing stages of building, and we should move in early December.
Now, a lot of people, whether it's a business or a house, when you have, you know, more kids or other family members come in, sometimes you hit a wall and you realize it would be so much better if you could just have a blank canvas to design the perfect house or office and et cetera. And that's got to be the case for you guys too.
Absolutely. So when Guy first approached us with this opportunity, he told us the outside specs of the building. It's going to be 9,000 square feet. He told us the dimensions of that. And he said, whatever you want inside, draw it out on a napkin sketch or whatever, and we'll send it to the architect and put it together exactly as you want it. As long as it meets code and everything. So I was so excited that day that I rolled out a big piece of butcher paper on a coffee table that's about 5 feet long, and I drew out close to scale. It was kind of rough, but a close to scale model of the building, and then fit in all the little pieces that I wanted in there. And I stayed really late that evening because I just didn't want to stop. I was there till like 7 p.m.
How many square feet do you have right now?
Right now we have a little over 8,000 square feet. And the new building has 9,000 square feet. But the major difference is that the building we currently occupy was remodeled kind of to meet our needs, and it never quite did. It was a cancer center when it was built, and there are a lot of spaces that make a lot of sense for cancer treatment, but don't make all that much sense for a typical mental health or office building or medical care. So we've got a couple of buildings with 3-foot cement walls to block radiation. They also block internet service, which is a little inconvenient.
Wow. So you guys have got to be pretty excited about this.
We are so excited. We all of us are just over the moon excited about packing up our things and occupying the new building. We go over there and we take pictures. We wander through as often as Guy lets us. We go through. We can't just pop over there whenever we want, but it's so exciting to see the whole thing coming together.
So making this kind of move has got to come at a financial cost. How is that all working out?
So we are looking for movers right now. We have a couple of proposals, but it does have a pretty hefty price tag. It looks like if we have professional movers do the move for us, it's going to be around $45,000, and we can figure that part out. That's not it's not serious. But one of the things that we really would love is to be able to refurnish when we get into our new building. There are some things that we just don't have. Our conference room is much bigger in the new building, and we don't have a conference table for that size. And then there's some other furniture that we would love to be able to put in there.
And what about the overall expense of the building?
The overall expense of the building, I think roughly was about $2.5 million to build, but we're not being asked to pay any of that. We have a lease agreement with Guy, and it looks like about over 20 years we might our lease payments will get to about to that spot.
Wow, so a lot going on. I mean, so many advantages of a brand new building, especially with all the different services you're providing, mm-hmm. and things like, I am guessing, soundproofing with interview rooms and things like that.
Yes, that's right. With this opportunity to build a suit, we are able to have the interview room and the observation room. That's the room where our investigators sit and observe the interview as it's happening live. And our full clinic and the attached shower are all soundproofed. And then there's sound dampening in all of the rest of the walls because we still work with a lot of confidential information and we don't want any of that to transfer through walls.
Wow. You can see the excitement right now just watching you get to this mm-hmm. point. I mean, if you backed up 2 or 3 years, did you ever dream this might happen?
Oh, 2 or 3 years ago, we were thinking about remodeling, maybe even building a second story on the building that we're currently in. And there was not this level of excitement. And we did ultimately decide, because that was during COVID and building prices were extreme, that we didn't want to pursue that. I did not anticipate that this opportunity would come to us, and I'm so grateful.
Now, you mentioned moving costs, things like that, some new furniture. That makes a lot of sense to be able to just really come in fresh. And maybe if it's like my house, getting things that all look like they belong together.
That's exactly right. We have the furniture that we have now. Some of it we picked up at Goodwill. I mean, honestly, we're a nonprofit. We work very diligently to ensure that the money people entrust us with to do our work is spent responsibly, and that we don't splurge on fancy furniture or anything like that. But on the other hand, having a warm and comfortable and put together space for a child to come into can change the way that they feel appreciated and welcomed and supported in that environment.
So what about additional help from the community to make all this come together right now?
So we are launching our Heartfelt Heroes campaign, and that has multiple levels of sponsorship. Even if a donor can only afford $10 or $15, that helps us provide things for the kids that we take care of. Every child who comes to our building gets a handmade quilt and a stuffed animal. we provide gas vouchers and grocery cards for our families when they struggle to provide for their basic needs. We provide art supplies for use in therapy and treatment, and even $10 or $15 really, really helps us when we're budgeting for those expenses in our limited budget. We're also seeking some larger donors who are willing to furnish our medical room, for instance, and make sure that we have all the state-of-the-art equipment that we need in there to take the best care of kids that we can. And in our sponsorship packet, there are opportunities to adopt a room and put together a therapy room for the clients we serve, or put together a family conference room where the families wait, and that's kind of their home base when they're there for forensic appointments. So there are some larger opportunities there. But any level of donation we're grateful for.
Now, is any of this up yet on your website?
We're going to put that on our website this week.
All right. So it's in process and more to come. All right. Back with more in a moment. Sarah Wickersham of Douglas Cares. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Provide the gates for that. We are seeking additional grant funding to provide a natural playscape for kids. So when I say natural playscape, I don't mean playground equipment. It's going to be mostly grassy with nice landscaping that will kind of provide a little bit of more private areas so we can move sessions outside. But we also want to have some places where kids can move. We know from this work that not all kids are okay to just sit on a couch and look their therapist in the eye and talk about their feelings. Some kids need to play basketball while they talk, or walk a track, or throw a ball back and forth. And so we want to have the spaces for all of those activities, and just getting kids out in the sunshine really helps. But we also need to maintain confidentiality for that. So we're carefully designing this outside place for our kids.
As things evolve with what you're doing, do you anticipate new lines of services coming in the next few months?
We do. We are gearing up to launch a co-occurring line of services. And that means some of the kids that we take care of have been abused or neglected or have experienced sexual assault. And as we know, we don't always choose the healthiest coping mechanisms. So some of our kids choose drugs or experience eating disorders as a result. And the co-occurring line of service means that we can treat mental health and substance use disorders at the same time. And that means our kids can come to one place and get both of their needs met concurrently.
And so you're really dealing with one situation that, because of that, trying to cope with it, then you end up with a second situation that further complicates it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because sometimes the substance use takes over as the primary concern. And up to now, we have relied on our good partners at ADAPT to take care of our kids who have had substance use disorders. However, we know that we are the experts in child abuse and complex developmental trauma. So being able to keep our kids in-house and make sure that we can meet all of their needs at the same time would be best.
How does what you're doing here compare to how these services are provided in other counties around Oregon?
So Douglas Cares is unique in Oregon. We have one of the largest mental health departments of any child advocacy center in Oregon. And as a reminder, the child advocacy center part of our business is the forensic part. So the forensic interviews, the forensic medicals, and the advocacy. Those are core CAC services. We have most CACs are developing mental health departments as well. But ours is one of the most advanced. We are the only ones with 5 full-time providers. We're the only one with skills trainers, which, as many of our community know, that's a bachelor-level mental health provider who can add support outside of the therapy office for the children and their families. We have comprehensive case management for all of our kiddos, and we have these specialized lines of service, one of those being Family Tree, which I've spoken about on this show before, and then planning to launch the co-occurring program in January.
And you mentioned having 23 staff. Talk about the kinds of backgrounds that result in people coming to work for you.
That's an interesting question. It's as varied as the people that we have. A lot of us are drawn to this work because we have personal experiences with our own family dynamics at home. I'd say probably more than half of my staff, myself included, have experienced some type of childhood trauma that makes us more understanding of what these children go through and makes us want to prevent anybody from experiencing what we've experienced. But we also have some staff members who learned about this sometime when they were in high school or in college and just felt compelled, driven to try and make a difference in the lives of kids who didn't have a life like they did.
How do you do on keeping staff long term? I mean, just especially given kind of the intenseness of what you're doing.
You know, it's a big mark of pride for me, and I am honored to share that I have not had a single employee leave Douglas Cares voluntarily in the last almost 2.5 years. We had 2 staff members choose to leave because they had family members get sick across the country. But everyone else, once they make a home at Douglas Cares, they like to stay there.
And talk about what you do in terms of working with law enforcement. What's that relationship like?
So we rely heavily on our law enforcement partners. They are on the ground. They are the ones that help to identify cases of child abuse, and then they're really primarily responsible for the investigation of that, especially when it comes to criminal cases. So they are out in the world. They're in dangerous situations. They work in the moment to protect children, and then they refer those children to us, and then they partner with us all along the way as we're building evidence and we're sharing the evidence that we create, that we build in house with them, so they can contribute to their investigation. They do the primary work for this, for investigating and moving these cases forward.
So it sounds like you guys are kind of early in the process. I mean, there are a lot of different roles, different jobs where people are mandatory reporters, whether it's medical or education or other things like that, where that information starts and may go to Department of Human Services first, but you guys were in on it pretty quick.
We are, yeah. We're ideally one of the first phases. So an investigator, either with child welfare, because they take a huge portion of that work as well, or with law enforcement, will get a report and we'll send someone out to the field to take a look at the child, to interview the family preliminarily, and then they refer to us to do the child-specific interviewing and medical exams.
And there's a lot of, I imagine, protocols to how you do that. I mean, and just in terms of how you even ask questions.
Oh, yes. Forensic interviewing is a highly scripted and controlled process. Children have an innate sense of what adults want to hear from them, and they are eager to please. They will often say things that aren't true, not because they want to be malicious, but because they have learned that they need to do what adults want them to do. So a highly trained forensic interviewer will not add any information to an interview themselves. They can only take the information that the child presents and kind of probe deeper about that and get the child to explain a little more about what they're talking about in a way that does not lead the child at all.
As we wrap up again, you're looking for some community support, and talk about where that information is going to be here in the next few days.
Yeah, in the next few days, you can visit our website at www.douglascares.org. What's currently up there now is our donate button, and you can always click that button and add some money. And if you want to write in what it's for, we are happy to accept that and honor your wishes. It will also be on our Facebook page, the Douglas Cares Facebook page. We will be sending out some more a more robust media campaign in the next month or so.
All right, Sarah Wickersham, Douglas Cares, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.